Hello, and thank you for listening to our new series, OE Talks. We're excited to bring you something special for our 30th Annual Opportunity Exchange, and that's accessible education. So what does that mean? It means education when it makes sense in your busy schedule. This way, you are not limited to learning during our one-day event, but instead, when you have a few extra minutes in your day. In the future, we plan to bring you shared key messages from our supplier partners and my supplier diversity colleagues throughout the year, and not just our Opportunity Exchange and Power of Exchange events. Our plan is that the messages are timely and based upon activities you may be doing now or in the near future. So today's topic is refining your approach, how best to say it. But before we get started, let me begin with introductions. I'll start with myself as the moderator for this educational series. My name is Chuck Hendricks, and I'm the Senior Manager of Supplier Diversity, and I've been a part of Team Toyota for 23 years. Additionally, today, I'm excited to be joined by some of my automotive colleagues and some of my really dear friends that I'm going to let them introduce themselves as we get going for today. So let's start with you, Angela.
Good afternoon, Chuck. My name is Angela Henderson. I am the Senior Purchasing Manager for Supplier Diversity, Inclusion, and Sustainability at Ford. I've been at Ford for over 20 years, but I've been in my role for almost three now.
Good, good. Glad to have you on board. And this next voice, I'm sure many of you have heard and as well as seen. Reggie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Chuck, and OE audience, Reggie Humphrey, General Motors Assistant Director of Supplier Engagement. With General Motors for 24 years and in this role for 7 years. And just glad to be here and be a part of this moment. So thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely glad to have you. And we'll close out our introductions with a good friend of mine from a long time ago, Michael.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Chuck. I am Michael Bracey. I've been with Honda for 29 years, and I'm currently the manager of procurement diversity for Honda of America Manufacturing.
Glad you could join us today. So yeah, you heard it right, folks. We have four automotive OEMs participating today. And my hope is that you will be able to gain some valuable experiences and information from our conversation today. So let's get started. So in recent years, we have told you what not to do. I think a lot of you, maybe if you attended a previous Opportunity Exchange, we gave you a little skit with some of my automotive colleagues and told you kind of what not to do and should and should not and that type of thing. But today we want to complete the puzzle by telling you what you should be doing just to get our attention. So for me personally, I love it when a potential supplier leads off with attention-getting stats. Tell me how much money you saved one of my competitors or brought them something new and innovative that maybe we're not doing at Toyota because you've sourced that particular opportunity or that business with one of my competitors. Tell me why Toyota would be better with you and my supply base. If you're only servicing customers and not adding any value, it's hard to get you in. I'll be perfectly honest with that statement. But if you freed up some man hours because you found that the company you solved some problems at one of my competitors or with any other industry that would be valuable to Toyota or any of our automotive customers or automotive competitors, that's the type of thing that we're looking for. So Reggie, give our audience one of those things that they should be doing.
Well, you know, I mean, we all are trade shows. It's a great networking opportunity, but one of the reasons for us as automotive is to showcase our vehicles. And ultimately, we're selling to a customer base that we hope enjoys the full customer experience as an owner and operator of our vehicles. So the first question the first thing I'd like to hear from a supplier is, how does your product or service add value to that customer experience? So I invite suppliers to sit in whatever vehicle we have on display, and now help me understand how sitting behind the wheel as a customer, your product or service is actually going to excite me, is going to keep me in this vehicle, is going to get me in the next generation of this vehicle, and it's going to inspire that brand loyalty and that customer loyalty. And if a supplier cannot articulate how their product or service will add value to that customer experience, you're already two or three steps behind and going to be low on my priority list.
How about you, Angela? What takes place at Ford that kind of makes you, that grabs your attention and says, hey, I want to spend a little bit of extra time with one of these suppliers?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely echo some of the same things that that Reggie talked about in terms of making sure that they have value proposition. But one of the things that's really attention grabbing for us is when, you know, suppliers approach us and they understand that not only are we looking for something to impact our vehicle, but we have mobility solutions that we're working to provide communities. So how can you integrate yourself and your product and service offering to support our mobility solutions as well as or instead of our vehicle solutions? And so having that enterprise view of what we're doing to me is a great attention grabber.
That's a great point that you raise there, Angela. So all of us are moving from just an automotive company to a mobility solutions type companies, and that's affecting our industry as a whole. And suppliers have to be able to have to be able to attain those goals or stay in line with what actually the industry is doing. So how about you, Michael? What about at Honda?
Yeah, I think both of those things are right on point. And one of the things I really like is leading a little bit to what you said, is that as a supplier that comes to me and is telling me about where we're going, so because of their experience in whatever industry, whatever service, whatever product that they're doing, they understand where that space is today. And they're starting to tell me where it's going to go. So I'm not looking for just something that's going to fit for today, but they're also working on things that are going to fit for tomorrow. Those are when I get most excited, because that's when I learn the most, which then allows me to turn around to our sourcing teams and provide them with some information and create that energy and excitement about meeting with that candidate. I think that's really something that is a definite should do. Understand today, but understand where we're going tomorrow and what you're doing to help us go there.
Yeah, if there's anything about our industry, it will always change. That is one thing that is always a constant, which is change. So let's stick with you, Mike. What was one of the most memorable pitches that you've ever experienced at a trade show, and what made it memorable?
So one of the most interesting ones I had was, again, similar to what I just said, a supplier came up to me, and they asked about a service that's provided in most manufacturing facilities. And they said, well, I know you're doing this. You know, you're moving things around all of your different manufacturing facilities and your sites. But let me ask you this. What do you do at the end of life with those tools and machines that you're moving around every day? And I said, you know, what do you mean? What do we do at the end of this life? And what they explained to me, they said, well, this is what we do. We will give you a breakdown. And they went into all this detail about this is what most people standardly get, but this is what we're going to give you. And this is what it can do for you. And then they provided some examples of savings and improvements. And more importantly than the savings, actually, was just the improvement in service that they were giving to our end users inside of all of our facilities. And I took that information, came back internally, sat down with some of my subject matter experts, and we turned that around into a meeting within 30 days. And they had business within 90 days. It's just great timing with the project coming up at the same time. But to move that quickly, it was because of the preparation they had done, the research that they had done, and understanding what they were doing, and just knowing the focus that was going on inside of that. I thought that was excellent, and immediately it just put energy in me, because I knew I had something that I could really take in and try to push it across the goal line.
How about you, Angela?
Yeah, I met a woman-owned business once that kind of grabbed my attention in the most memorable way. And it was very subtle, and it wasn't something that was just outright. She just walked up to the booth, and she presented, you know, who she was. She never actually said that she was representing a diverse business until the end. But what really kind of stuck with me is that, you know, she had done her homework. And she said, here's why I do what I do. And she started with that. And she said, this is how I do, why I do my business and why I started this business and why I think it's important. And then because she had done some homework on Ford, she says, and this is why I think I can support Ford's vision. We're still developing a relationship with her right now, because we think that it's going to be an excellent solution that ties not only into the supplier diversity piece of my job, but the sustainability piece as well. And so we're working with her right now, and hopefully, you know, her product can become something that we can actually launch. But we're starting with that initial development. It happened last year, actually, at Summit and Salute. So we're steadily working that. But it just impressed me the way that she started her pitch with, I do this because. And it just kind of mattered. And it stayed out, it stuck out as a memorable piece of her pitch to me.
So, Reg, how about a GM? You've been around on the track for quite some time. What's one of those most memorable ones that you've had that's been positive?
Well, and I think that's the funny part of this, Chuck. It's certainly been more negative than positive, and right. I think that speaks well of how Toyota is approaching this particular educational series, and we want to offer some of those positives. I mean, I'll tell you one that continues to impressed me, but I haven't been able to get over the goal line, quite frankly, because we met a minority business entity quite some time ago with a lot of interior and exterior lighting solutions. And what impressed me the most is their ability to understand how lighting the interior, the exterior parts of the vehicle, everything from illuminated emblems to some of the technology you see on some of, all of our vehicles today in terms of brand logos on the ground and interior cup holders and all of your ancillary lighting, which makes the vehicle feel sporty and luxurious. And they showed me all the different applications, the type of energy that they're pulling to ensure that they have a sustainable solution, that when you break this componentry down to a POA or parts of assembly operation, how, you know, everything comes together, the low cost solution. And, but it was a full vehicle experience. Again, going back to my earlier comment, they actually were able to sit me in the vehicle, not physically, but virtually, and help me understand how all of their products would enhance the customer experience as they feel lighting, as how does lighting play as a part of a vehicle experience. So, you know, and the tough part is you think you're really excited. You think you have something that you haven't seen in the marketplace. You come back and speak to your purchasing engineering teams, and you still can't quite get everybody energized on the same page that this minority business entity truly has, if not the word innovative, certainly product enhancements I think we need to take advantage of. And I think it's where you talked about patience is necessary as it relates to ensuring that, you know, you kind of stick with it, right? Having that stick-to-itness attitude. And this is a great example that I think they came well prepared. They understood how their product or service differentiated in the marketplace. They understood how customers would actually receive and enjoy their experiences, and actually how it can become a priceable option that we can enjoy margins from. So I don't know, one of the best experiences I've had.
You know, I've met a supplier a while ago, and honestly, I'm still trying to work through, you know, with our sales team to see how we can integrate this supplier into our supply base. I met a supplier that created umbrellas, and it wasn't just your ordinary umbrella. It was an umbrella that on the outside, it may have had our logo, or they could put any company logo on the outside of it. But when you open that umbrella up, on the inside of that umbrella would be the actual vehicle that the consumer just purchased. So they'd have pictures, a full-blown picture on the inside of the umbrella, just hoping to enhance that customer experience. When somebody purchases a vehicle of ours, they're getting an umbrella that's designed for that vehicle. When they do open it up, anytime that they would look up inside of an umbrella, they would actually see their vehicle that they just purchased. So, you know, I had not come across a supplier who had ever done anything like that. So when we talk about innovative, the innovative piece doesn't need to be some grandiose thing. It could be one of those small little touch points. All of us have luxury vehicles or any type of vehicle, actually. In this particular one that they showed me was a Lexus vehicle. So from a Lexus experience, when a consumer purchased that, that's just that little small little touch that says, oh, this is different. I got a Lexus now, and they've given me my own personal umbrella that matches the vehicle that I just purchased. So those little innovative things that, you know, I had never seen anything like that before. So those types of things that our supply base, or the diverse supply base, really needs to be thinking about. You know, maybe that's an elementary example, but, you know, those types of things, that's the things that we're looking for, those new and innovative type things. So if you could have, you know, we've talked about pitches and those types of things. What is one, if you were to give one component that every single supplier needs to have in their pitch, what would that be? Reg, let's start with you.
I want to know who your top three customers are and how they measure success. So what are the key performance indicators, two or three KPIs that your top three customers always measure you with? And that way, when it's time for me to compare you with either an existing supplier or the entire supply base for that particular commodity or service, it's very easy for me to articulate where you fit in our value chain.
That's a good one. How about you, Michael?
Yeah, I would say I look for data. I want to understand data. I want to understand your improvement or your efficiency gain in whatever area you're talking about. And also, I want to understand the industries that you're working with and where you've had your success.
Angela, how about you at Ford?
Yeah, for me, it's a combination of all those things, but just to be just plain and simple, I want to understand what is your focused area of expertise. So I understand you could probably do multiple things and your company has multiple areas, but what is your focused area of expertise that applies specifically to me at Ford Motor Company?
Yeah, those are all great things that every supplier should have, along with, you know, every pitch has got to have a value proposition. So tell me why I cannot live without you within my supply base. Don't just tell me that you're doing exactly what somebody else is doing, because I can get that from somebody else if I don't already have it, which in a lot of cases we already do. As purchasing / supplier diversity members, and always understand, you know, what it is that we need. Make sure that you've done your homework and that you're bringing something to the table that we're certainly going to need. So, okay, so last call, ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down and sharing all this wisdom from today. So in closing, is there one item that you want to give that we haven't talked about today, just in general? And it doesn't have to be necessarily pitch related or anything like that, but as folks get ready to come to Opportunity Exchange and meet just probably 200 to 250 of Toyota suppliers, which are shared, some of which are shared amongst my colleagues that are on the call today, is there one thing that you want them to do? And we'll start with Angela.
Say to lead your discussion with that value proposition. Don't lead with your diverse certification. Lead with your value proposition, and once you do that, close with your diverse certification, because that's the icing. You put your icing on the cake last. We don't put our icing on first.
Michael?
Yeah, I would say be prepared. Have a strategy. If you can, as much as possible, understand who's going to be there. Have an idea of what you want to talk about so that you can do some of the things that we talked about. Be focused. Understand your value proposition. Understand what you're bringing. Why do we need to have you? I would say do that. And it's also, Chuck, I think one thing is everything we talk about is be prepared. But it doesn't leave room sometimes for just pure question and answers. And I think that there's a fine line between being prepared, coming in, saying, okay, I want to speak to Honda. I'm going to talk to them about this, this, and this. But it's okay after talking about that to ask a question and say, hey, I'm also looking at this. Is that something that you do? I think there's a good balance of how to do that, as well as coming with what are your exact strengths, because that curiosity and then taking that information and innovating something is something that we all hope that all suppliers do as well.
Okay, and then we'll close it out with the Grandmaster Reggie.
So, you know, I love Ange talked about the value proposition on the front and the back end. Michael talked about making sure that message, it is right on point. And I'm going to give you the last piece that I see is the art of a follow-up, right? I think that it's very important, as you build a relationship, that you understand how a person prefers to communicate, what is the appropriate block of time to do follow-up. Because as I often joke, there is a fine line between persistent follow-up and a restraining order. And there are people out there who want to send you an email every week and attach all of the old emails to that to make it known that they've been trying to follow up with you. And there are others who are very subtle and said, hey, realize you may be busy. You're on your way to the NMSTC conference, or we just finished up with OE. And so now, you know, and I know the holidays are coming. What is the best time to catch up with you? I think that there is a there's a political savvy that needs to be applied when you're doing follow-up so that you can actually build a healthy and sustainable relationship versus trying to push your sales pitch on us, and understanding that every pitch that you put in front of us is not all that appetizing to us, and especially initially. There may be some research that we have to do to go back and figure out where you fit in our supply chain. And so to even Michael's point, I mean, sometimes just helping us understand where you fit in our supply chain, meaning that if you understood that your number one customer, the decision makers between purchasing and that stakeholder, it may be an engineer, it could be a facilities manager, who are those normal stakeholders that typically make decisions regarding your product or service? That helps us do some internal research as to where to direct you, right? And where to go figure out whether or not there's a good supply chain fit. So, you know, again, I'm thankful that you've had a moment like this to try to educate. But if there was one thing that I see that goes drastically wrong, it's the art of the follow-up.
Chuck, can I add one more thing to that? Because Reggie, you just hit on something that I'm actually dealing with right now. Probably four times already this week, and it's only Tuesday. And it's the fact that sometimes suppliers, they need to be careful of the products that they use to find contacts. So sending an email to the CEO of a corporation like Ford and GM and Honda, I mean, it's just, that's not appropriate. It's just not appropriate. So they need to be very mindful of that, and then going through and fishing for phone numbers and contacts, because it is a very small, thin line between stalking, professional follow-up, and inappropriate follow-up. So they really need to be very, very careful of contacting a CEO via LinkedIn or email.
We can tell, we all have experienced the phishing emails that you know are system generated, right? Mm-hmm. You can tell how they start, you can tell how they end, and quite frankly, most of those I have spam controlled within my email, and they immediately get deleted or they get put in a junk file, right? And since we want to have a real discussion, I mean, I think that's key, is when you have business development and sales folks that are trying to reach out, to Angela's point, they're not reaching out to the right point of contact. Certainly they escalate and believe that they're actually going to touch one of our CEOs or VPs, and the decision-making power does not reside there. The decision is the ground roots folks that are actually doing the work. And so we're very astute as to some of these, what I call lazy business development tools that we throw mass emails together and hope that you're going to, you know, basically shoot fish in a barrel. They don't work.
Right. That's great information to share with all of our listeners here today. I don't know about you guys, but I this has been some great storytelling and recommendations, and I want to thank you all for the great conversation. So I'll close out by indicating that I hope you all found today's discussion beneficial, and I hope that you will all check back and hear our final conversation next month. As you are already aware, OE Talks is a four-part series where we bring you education in hopes that it will help make your business even better, and hopefully you have a great experience at our Opportunity Exchange event. Our previous sessions included doing research, following up, and today's session, refining your approach and how best to say it. And our final session will be on how to use the Opportunity Exchange app to maximize your engagement at our event coming up next month in November. So thank you again to Angela, Michael, and Reggie for taking time out of your busy schedules to help us prepare diverse businesses for taking their conversations to the next level.